to get about 3 visualizers per song. That's the goal. Wow. We'll probably do about 3 to 4 songs per outfit. The best locations are like, you just turn and it's a spot. So you have like 5 locations in one.
Tieta.
Poet, social media manager, cinematographer, and artist development coach.
He, as an artist, is trained to follow the camera. He's always going to be facing the camera. If he's in a spot that's not lit well, move. And he'll move with the camera. And sometimes he won't move. He's like, no, this is where I want to stand. But most of the time, it's a dance between the artist and the cameraman.
Holy f***.
One of the fastest growing rappers I've ever witnessed, La Russell, referred to his social media manager and business partner, Tieta, as the backbone of his business. And her impact has grown the community to over 1.5 million followers across all channels and opening up their free Game Friday series where they unpack gems about marketing and music and the industry. This makes him an unstoppable social media empire with Tieta as the core. And so in this conversation, I wanted to dissect a content day structure with Tieta and understand how their team, Good Company, churn out so much content consistently. So let's dive into it. You know, late last year, I saw this video go viral on my timeline and it said, your life is your content model. And that just hit me instantly. And I was like, yo, you know, Gary Vee says document, don't create, but I like this more. Can you unpack that for us? Like how you advise artists to be on social media, living their life through their content, please.
Yeah, it really started in my work with La Russell and in his like unwavering battle for authenticity among artists. We had this like abundance of rap artists that were all like drill, kill people, all this crazy stuff. And it's like, that's not even where you come from or what your life is really about, but it was what people felt like they had to do to make it. And working with him, it was like, no, authenticity. Like, I want people to know that I am really who I am. Everything you see is real. And in pushing that, it just was what it was. And like, you, as long as you record your life, you'll never have to like fake it. So we've just been documenting his life and we realized that that was what worked best. Like, well, he likes to walk, we record him walking. He likes to play tennis, we record him playing tennis. And people love it because people just want to get to know you and who you are.
And I think whenever artists try and vlog, for lack of a better word, like they think my life is boring. They think, why will someone want to know this? And who's going to stand there and follow me all day through all the micro conversations I have? But I love what you guys do. You're standing outside Momo's, strangers come up to you and say hello. You're ordering more food. You talk about the process. I love it, for real. How do you make sure it's not boring?
I had that same thought about it being boring. And I actually said that to La Russell in one of my recent vlogs of like, I don't know why people want to watch me. My life is boring. And he's like, your life is not boring. And I was like, yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. Sitting in a cubicle was boring. Like, this is not boring. And even still, like, there's something interesting about everybody's life. It's just finding the niche market of people who relate to what you have going on. Like, people who are interested in music are not going to be bored about an hour-long conversation about music. Somebody who doesn't care about the music business is going to be like, this is boring. But people who care, it's not boring to them. So there's a community for everything that people have going on. Everything. Even the most boring of things, there is somebody who loves that. There's a large group of people who love that. There's billions of people on the planet. So I don't think you really have to worry about being boring. You just have to be yourself and be authentic, and your community will find you.
You know, I think your vlogs have a secret sauce compared to his vlogs, because I get like a real life, not a manager, but like a content creator, a partner in the business, behind the scenes look of arranging content days and picking out outfits. And I want to get into all this, but like La Russell's ones is his life as the artist and yours is yours as the glue of the whole company. So like, how do you distinguish what goes on your vlog and what goes on his vlog? Because you both feature in both. Do you get me?
Yeah. He actually edits all of his vlogs.
Wow.
I wish I had more say.
No way.
He's very, very hands-on. He is like, yeah, he edits all of the daily walks and his daily vlogs. He's been, especially this year, more than last year. If you've been following him for a while, then you have seen how everything is more current now. Like last year, it was all like a lot of like live content and it might be something from 3 months ago, but it got edited and now it's going up. But he was like, I don't want that anymore. I want, if it happened yesterday, I want somebody to see it today. I want everything to be current. And with that, it was like, I'll do it myself. If other people can keep up, then I'll do it myself. So yeah, he's been doing everything. And he's very, he just like skim edits. So his are a lot longer and you'll see a lot more of the day. And I'm new to sharing my life. So I'm very particular in like, I'm still in the, this is boring. So I'll edit so much out. And one of my like most watched vlogs, I didn't edit a lot of the conversation because I felt like it was really good. But I was like, I hope people don't think this is boring, but I think that this conversation is important. And it's my most viewed vlog. It was like,
there you go.
People want to see what you have going on.
So what I wanted to do in this conversation, I wanted to drill down into a content day. And I want you to go really tactful, really granular, beginning to end, from planning, recording, the one-shot visualizer music videos, the location scouting, and all of it. So yeah, okay. I flipping love these. They're so in real time. There's one for every song on every project. You guys drop 8 projects plus a year. It's incredible. Yeah. Can we start at the top? When you guys are thinking, we got 3 Point Play, or we've got Rent Due, or whatever, where do you start with? We're doing a visualizer for each song. What's the first step of the process, please?
First step is the music. So once he creates a project and he's like, he has like 5 projects in the vault. So sometimes we'll content for projects that aren't even upcoming. But once he's like, this project is coming out next, we're going to do a content day and we're going to shoot visualizers for it. He'll rally the team and let his stylist know. So she'll start picking out outfits and we'll set a date. And then everybody comes to his house. Ariel, his stylist, will bring all the outfits. And then we have our photographer, and like quite a few of us do videography and, you know, lights, all the extra hands and stuff. And then he'll pick the outfits for the day. So he'll try them on. I like this. We like this. We don't like this. He'll usually try on like 1 or 2. And then once we have like 2 or 3 that we like, then we'll go outside. Everybody loads up in the cars and, rewind. When he goes to set the date, he says everybody needs to find locations. So everybody be scouring the city and finding locations, dropping pins, and we'll send pictures of them in the group chat. So that way Ariel knows, okay, we have a purple wall with a green trim, and she can try to find outfits that go with that wall. We might not even shoot.
Oh, shit. Hold on. So Ariel has to match the outfit to the location too, and complementary colors and all that.
She has the luxury of it. Sometimes we'll find a location that wasn't set, and it's like, outfit for it. But if it does work out, then it's really great. So yeah, then when we all load up in the car, we'll already have locations, and we'll just like, what outfit does he have on? Okay, this location will be great for this outfit because it, you know, complementary colors and whatnot. We'll pull up to the location. We always make sure that we have tube lights, a reflector. We use the DJI Ronin 5D, and then everybody has the Pocket Osmos from DJI as well. So everybody's doing BCS with those. We shoot on the 5D for the main shots. What else? We get there. We make sure we have a speaker. And then
I've noticed this. Kind of
frame the shot up. Splash is usually on cam. Splash, me, Yacia on our B-Gigs. And then we just go. We play the song. And LaRussa's like a one-take kind of person. It's like, it doesn't have to be perfect. I don't want it to be not great. But if there's like people in the background or something, it's like, bro, this is what we're doing. People love to see what's going on. So, yeah, well, one take it. We'll probably do about 3 to 4 songs per outfit. And we'll just kind of go down the album that he spent. So he'll be like, this is the album that's coming out. Everybody gets a Dropbox link. Usually I'm on music and we'll be like, what song fits like this aesthetic of the place that we're at? And then we'll do that. We try to get about 3 visualizers per song. That's the goal.
Wow. Okay. Not one visualizer per song, but 3 per outfit per song.
Yes. And it'll be 3 different songs. Crazy. For one outfit. Yeah.
Crazy.
If we find a location, the best locations are like, you just turn and it's a new spot. So you have like 5 locations in one, like,
G-Sound. Yeah.
And then if we have extra clothes there, then he'll just change in the car and then we'll go to another location and run it again. If we don't have an extra outfit, then we'll go back to the house, regroup, drop footage at the computer. So every time we come back to the house, we'll drop the card and we'll start figuring out that footage. So that way, when we come home, we don't have to wait 10 hours for 25 visualizers to finish.
Mad, you dropped so much game. Hold on, I want to backtrack. So the one take filming, so you as videographers, you guys are trained to, if he moves, stands up, if he crouches down, if he goes in, if he goes out, if he walks around the edge of a pool, you guys just follow and react to. Does he take the lead or do you guys direct him before?
It's a dance. So you'll have an idea of like, oh, this is like, we'll have a set shot of like, this looks really good. But LaRussell will like dance around. You know how he is. Or the videographer, like I had to tell Splash that when he first came because I always filmed the shows. And he's like, how do you always know where he's going? And it's like, he, as an artist, is trained to follow the camera. He's always going to be facing the camera. So if he's in a spot that's not lit well, move. And he'll move with, right? He'll see you move. And sometimes he won't move. He'll be like, no, this is where I want to stand. But most of the time, it's a dance between the artist and the cameraman.
Because, you know, I've seen so many musicians that when they're actually lip syncing, they look like they're lip syncing.
Oh, no, we don't lip.
No. So you got the boombox playing the tune, but you're not using the audio from the moment. You're dubbing the MP3 on top, right?
But he's really rapping.
He's really rapping in the moment. Yeah. Exactly.
We're outside, yeah. And he says that, like, we'll have other artists on content on Visualizer Day so that way everybody can get content in. And he tells them that every time, like, really rap it because it you can feel it when somebody's really rapping right. And when they're just lip syncing.
Uploading a music video onto YouTube is the easy bit. But creating visualizers on Apple Music, Vevo, and Tidal is now possible thanks to DistroVid by DistroKid. And this is incredible how you can cut up short video clips from your long-form content and have it ready to plaster all over social media. To upload unlimited number of music videos onto these streaming services per year, it's just $99. And you can get started with DistroVid and get a 7% discount using my link, which is distrokid.com/VIP/allaboutHelping. Huge love as always to the DistroKid family for sponsoring season 2 of this podcast and empowering smart artists. I think when you project your voice and you're doing the doing, you don't look back to the authenticity point. You are actually recording your life while you're on set recording the video visualizer and you get it all. And again, the work that you do, I love when you look at the viewfinder on the camera and you're all getting gassed up and you know it was a wicked take.
Yes, that's also my favorite part. It's like the playback moment of everybody crowded around. It's very wholesome.
And then like whatever happens in the shot with extras, kids on scooters, bicycles, like how do you react and just, you know, soak in whatever's happening around?
I try to embrace everything. Early on, I used to be really like particular, like, no, that wasn't the idea. But the best part about life is going with it. Like, you're going to enjoy life the most if you go with it. If you try to like fight against life, you're going to be fighting for the rest of your life. So just go with the flow. And it makes everything better. It makes it more fun, more enjoyable, and more. It's real. It's real.
This is a mad amount of like workload for you to be on set with him, following him daily, whether he's in the studio, whether he's performing, whether he's just having pagoda shows, like every day you guys, meet at the compound and you just do whatever he feels like doing? Or is there a set? There is a schedule, of course, weeks ahead in advance. You got stuff happening, shows booked in. Like, how does the flow of content that you keep drip feeding material out based on whatever he's doing that day?
It's helped a lot to have him editing the daily stuff because if he's on daily vlogs and the walks, then I can focus on all of the visualizers and adding captions to the show clips that we do. So we break it up. It really takes a village to get it all done.
The work rate that you're doing and every single producer, every single person you encounter, be like, you guys are doing it different. And you know that this model is the future and you know that this is ahead of its time and no one is even coming close to the work rate. But I know exactly what you're doing and you have ambitions to 10x it. The more you can build the team, the more you can get the method right, I assume.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like the trickiest part is, because what we're doing is so ahead of its time and revolutionary, that a lot of people just aren't trained to move at this pace. And you have to find a very specific kind of person who, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming for me. It's overwhelming for Splash. It's a lot for LaRussell, but we all want it more than anything. And there's nothing, like, we love it. We love it so much that it's like, I don't care about staying up until 3 a.m. so I can get 22 visualizers done in one day to send it out and to be able to drop the album 2 days later. You know, like, that's exhilarating for me. And you have to find somebody who loves it that much. And that's been the tricky part. Like, if you see anybody on our team, they love it, they want it, and they work very, very hard to get it done.
It's a family business. That's why, because you're all about rewarding each other and you all in it together. Like, the consistency of the branding is just phenomenal to me. Like, thumbnail placement, like, can we talk a bit about that? Like, you make everything so cohesive. I'm reckoning that's you directing that sort of particularness in every asset you put out, I guess.
Yeah, I really enjoy scheduling and organizing. It's always been like, I don't know, it's enjoyable for me, like, to get the aesthetic right, to have everything be cohesive across all platforms. It's something that brands do really well that I picked up on. Like, your favorite brands, everything is in sync. And if it's out of place, it's going to be taken down very quickly. Like, who approved that? Because I thought that was wrong, you know? And it's something that I really enjoy about management. So, yeah, early on, I was like, we need to have thumbnails on everything, because when you go to the page, it looks a lot more clean. Like, when he goes on Twitter rants, or when he gets to posting random stuff, I just go to his page and I'm like,
bro, okay, what you doing?
It'll be cleared and we'll have all our stuff back. That's also the beauty about, like, it's life. Like, nothing is perfectly cut in life. So it is what it is. But I do enjoy it.
Because I think with the sheer volume of music you guys are dropping, like, most artists struggle with, what do I post in the period between albums, between singles, between whatever. But I guess you just pack more things in your schedule and you just have a daily flow of rehearsals, or you have pagoda shows, or you have whatever. I like that you guys almost never sit still, it seems. Like, you're constantly innovating. You're constantly be like, there's content to be made. There's music to be performed, in essence.
Yeah. And we're always trying to, like, recreate what we're doing. Like, if you were following him very early on, he used to do live sessions, like live box sessions for other artists. And everybody was like, I want these. And then he kind of grew out of those. And now we do live rehearsals at the backyard, where now he can, like, allow other artists to get a platform and have their art shared and they can get their content pieces out. So, yeah, we're always trying to reinvent and create new things. But the one thing that we're always doing is working. So if you're always working, it's like, the natural human instinct is to grow and to, like, build on what you have. You always want to come new or make it better or improve it somehow, you know? So if you're always working, then you're constantly improving.
And I guess, yeah, like you kind of said earlier, you don't sit on content. You just get it out. You don't have this lens of perfection or whatever. It's just, no, this is my life. This was yesterday. You move on. It's a one-taker, nearly a one-taker, everything as you do.
People love things that aren't perfect. They're a lot more easy to relate to. Like, the best moments that we have are the moments that weren't planned. You can't plan for the best moments. The ones that go crazy viral are like, we didn't plan for that. It just happened. And you can feel that through the video.
I also think there's an energy of, his brain is constantly ticking, your brain's constantly ticking. Like, he might, in the middle of a vlog, just go and have a 2-minute rant. And that rant gets repurposed as tweets, as screenshots, as those brown quotables. You make the micro content out of those moments. Like, I see the organization and the downflow from long form into short form. That is really the key.
Like, a lot of people are trying to figure out, like, what reels do I make? How do I make this? But it's like, if you focused your brain on what long form content do I want to create for YouTube, you'll get 10 to 15 pieces of short form content out of that. But because people are so focused on, like, they're going to take 3 days to make a 1.5-minute reel. And it's like, That's too much time. Like 3 days went by and you only got one post up. But if you sat in front of the camera or you made a 30-minute video about your life or whatever it is that you do or sharing your art, like the best thing that we started to do was filming the rehearsals. Because he just is playing for 30 minutes. And now we have 10 clips out of that. And it took us 30 minutes, you know? Like that's the best way as an artist. Like if you're a painter, if you make pottery, like if you just sat and filmed yourself for 30 minutes, you have a few pieces of content out of that because you're human. You're going to talk, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to do whatever in those 30 minutes and you get micro pieces of content out of it. Long form to short form, gold.
I think you and I are raised on that. As social media strategists, that's like second nature. But I think the average artist, they get in their head and they judge themselves saying, I don't like how I look. I don't like how I sound. I don't like this. And they'll nitpick to the point of one fault in their appearance means they lose the art entirely. And I hate that shit, man.
I struggle with that too. And the vlogs have really given me the freedom of letting that go. Because in a vlog, I look like anything on any day. And I'm going to be filming myself and like going back and editing them. And it'll be like a gold moment, but I look crazy. And it's like, do you compromise the moment because you don't like how you look? You share it anyway. Like I recently had a post, what was it? I forgot what it even was. Oh, about like not making time for yourself. And I was sitting in my living room and I had just taken a shower and I didn't even do my hair. And I was like, contemplated on posting it and it went and people loved it. And that's like, nobody really cares about how you look. And anybody who cares about how you look missed the message.
Yes.
That's their lot.
That's fact.
That's their lot.
Yeah. Honestly, I think there's such a key place for artists to just get it moving and stop leaving all these, you know, chasing off the perfect piece of content that inevitably when they create that thing they spent so long on, it underperforms anyway.
Every time.
Because the thing that you tried to make into a work of art backfired on you and the authenticity was missed, the message was missed, and the timing, the whole tone of voice of the post was wrong. And if you speak from the heart, it works every time.
Every time. But when you try the least, it goes the furthest. And when you try the hardest, it might go, but it probably won't. But it might not. It's like, yeah. I couldn't imagine spending that much time on a piece of content to send it out into the world in the blink of an eye. And I was just, it's like that's how fast the moment is gone. I recently told LaRussell that, and he sat with it for like a few days. He's like, I can't stop thinking about it. But I was like, nobody cares. Mm-hmm. Like you're contemplating about like, am I dropping too many albums? Did I drop it too fast? What if nobody, and I was like, bro, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Like it's a blip in their day and then they go on to something else. And if they really care, then they probably love you. And if they really care and they hate you, that's their problem. Yep. But most people don't care at all. They're just going to go on.
It's the crazy thing. This is why I think you guys are breaking all the rules. If you speak to any marketing strategist, they'd say that's too much music to put out. It's not getting its space to breathe. And you're like, but fam, look at the proof of the numbers, right? We can drop as much music as we want and they're going to binge 3-point play, go back into Rent Due, and they're going to go back, holy shit. Why me? Oh,
was my flipping day.
What's happening, bro?
From London.
Yes, bro. How are you? Yeah.
Bro.
Come on, bro.
Honored. Deeply honored, bro.
Okay.
On that streaming point, I think so many people, they binge listen to one album after another album after another album, and that's what creates the super fans. And it's not, you can't possibly give too much music. It's just that they can't handle that much at once and they need to sit with it and soak in on their own time.
And they're always going to sit with it. Like his albums, if you notice, they're usually about 7 songs, maybe 10, but that's 20 minutes.
Yeah.
20 minutes. Like, they're going to be able to sit with it. It's not too much music. I think really what it is that labels have conditioned us to believe that you're going to oversaturate the market if you do that. But it was really because they wanted to control the market. And if there's this crazy flow of music, it's too much noise now. and they, it's harder to control. It's like, it's easy to control 10 people. Now, if you put a million people in a room, it's a lot more difficult to control what those million people are listening to, what they're paying attention to. So if you convince everybody that, no, one album a year, maybe two, but definitely not eight, it is so much easier to control the market and to make sure that the albums and the artists that they want front and center are being paid attention to.
Deep facts. Honestly, I could speak to you all day about this, but I'm super mindful. You guys have got to get to a show. Thank you so much. Where can people connect with Good Company, with you personally? Yeah, where can people soak in like the work that you guys are doing and putting out on the daily, please?
Yeah, you can find everything that we do as a team on Good Company, the Instagram page, company spelled C-O-M-P-E-N-N-Y. You can find the artist I work with, LaRussell, at L-A-R-U-S-S-E-L-L. And if you want to follow me, you can find me at T-E-E-T-E-E-S-T-E-A.